Good afternoon. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisuke. Hope you're hanging in there. Hope you're feeling healthy. Hope you're feeling well emotionally, mentally, physically. Hope you're taking care of yourself. A lot going on in the markets again today. Let's go ahead and check in with our markets expert, Terry Savage. Hi, Terry.
Hi, G. Very interesting day. Markets would have been okay maybe until in the middle of the night. The Congress said, you know, we can't come to a deal. Then early in the morning, the Fed announced it will print enough money. It will buy everything out there. We'll come back to that in a moment. But they are going to make sure the system stays liquid. That gave you a rally at the beginning. The market's off about 300 points now. Look, here's what's interesting and here's what's the news, and then I'll talk about your money. First of all, the Fed has announced it's going to buy everything. How does it pay for it? With newly created money. I mean, long, long time ago, the dollar was backed by gold. Then it was backed by, okay, U.S. government IOUs. The Fed bought treasury bonds when the government borrowed, paying for them with newly created money. In 2008, they expanded that. They bought mortgage-backed securities to keep the housing industry alive. Today, the Fed said, we're going to buy student loans, we're going to buy credit card debt, we're going to buy auto loans, we're going to buy bond ETFs, we're going to do whatever it takes to put new money in. I want you to know that when I woke up early this morning, I mean, it was 5:30 in the morning, gold was trading at $1,494 an ounce, and right now it's trading at $1,550 an ounce, because all of a sudden everybody said, down the road, not now, what's that paper money worth? That's one key point. That's the Fed creating a ton of money. Number two, will the government get its act together and pass a plan that will go right out to people who are definitely hurting? That's the top priority, and the market's holding its breath. And the third just key point I wanted to say is I'm getting all kinds of posts at terrysavage.com on my blog. Is it time to buy? What should I buy? What should I buy? Folks, I can promise you, I will never know when it's the right moment to buy. I'm all about risk management, not about market timing. But the very fact that on CNBC we got some big-time traders talking about I'm nibbling at this and nibbling at that, and people are asking that question tells me that we may have a rally here, but this market has farther down to go when we see the impact. So I would say if you are a long-term investor, you're in what you're in, and we'll come back someday, but don't try and be a trader and beat this market. That's the savage truth for this day.
Terry, it seems that there's some key hang-ups on why this isn't passing in Congress. How do you feel about what they're hung up over?
I'm angry over the fact that on both sides, Congress can't seem to get its act together and understand that businesses are the ones that hire people. Businesses need to be, the structure of businesses need to be alive so that when we come back from this, there will be jobs to have, but that also individuals, many of whom can't even claim unemployment because they're self-employed. I've had such plaintive emails and posts on my blog. I work for myself. My business disappeared. What can I do? So that's why this individual and small business package direct to individuals is so important. This is a moment for statesmanship and compromise, and Congress, come on, get it done now, preferably before the market closes, because we'll issue in another round of agony overnight, not only for the markets, but for the people that really need to know what they're going to do about rent and food and so forth.
It seems that the politicians are really hung up over this stock buybacks potential. Can you explain what that means to us?
It means absolutely nothing to most people at this moment. It's an attempt, maybe realistically, to say to corporations, wait, instead of buying back your stock, which tends to boost the price, which tends to boost the bonuses of the executives, you should have invested in A, expanding your business, B, paying workers more. So there's a very realistic attempt to say anybody who goofed and is so much in debt, any corporation, and that in the past spent their good money buying back stock instead of paying dividends maybe to investors like your pension fund, or instead of paying workers more or growing the business, that if they receive help, they won't be able to do any stock buybacks in the future till they've repaid that help. That makes sense to me.
Okay, so they don't need to be fighting right now. They just need to pass
something. That's the point. Come on, folks. let's not fight about the philosophical part of it. Let's get a plan together so that the economy doesn't sink further. That's the whole point. I get the philosophical, economic, and realistic arguments on both sides, but that's not what is called for from Washington right now. Leadership is called for both on the health front and on the financial front, and I know people like Larry Kudlow and others are trying, and Steve Mnuchin, understand the markets and understand this. It's the politics, I think, that's getting in the way on both sides of the aisle.
Terry, thanks so much for checking in with us. Terry Savage, check out our website, terrysavage.com, where she does take listener questions and she does answer them. Want to leave us with a final word?
We will get through this. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. And those, I never wanted anybody to sell everything. A couple people wrote me and said I sold everything. I went, no, I never said that. But the fact is, I was glad that some of you protected your profits. You have liquidity. Keep your powder dry. The whole idea of that was to let you sleep at night. People who listen to me are not trading the market every day. Please don't listen to me for market timing. But please also believe that we will get past this. It just may take a while, and it may be a little more painful. I think it will be for those who are invested.
Well, thank you, Terry. We'll check back in with you this week.
Thanks, G.
G here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Joining us now is Jim Dahlke, Senior Editor at Chicago Inno. Hi, Jim.
Hey, G. How are you?
Oh, goodness. How are you doing? Is it pretty good working from home?
I am, yes, doing just fine. It's a bit of an adjustment, but we're hanging in there.
Oh, good. I was worried that maybe it wasn't so clear, but you're sounding pretty clear now, so that sounds perfect. So, Jim, you got a lot of tech, startup, innovation news that's happening around Chicago, and I hear that that's not slowing down even due to this coronavirus.
Yeah, it's obviously a major issue for, you know, the entire economy, and especially for startups. The coronavirus is, you know, impacting every business kind of throughout, you know, the entire United States, but especially for early stage businesses, startups that kind of rely on venture capital funding, businesses that don't have a ton of runway, for example, are really kind of in a pinch here and truly trying to kind of navigate these first sort of early weeks of the coronavirus crisis. But, you know, as we've covered, a lot of startups are actually still hiring. We just put a story together today of about 50 companies that are actively hiring. So, you know, you're going to hear about layoffs. You're going to hear about companies that are struggling, but a lot of businesses in Chicago still are hanging in there and actually actively adding bodies as we speak. So, a little bit of a mixed bag so far, but definitely some momentum still in Chicago's startup ecosystem.
Jim, in terms of these Chicago startups that are still hiring, what type of fields and line of work are they looking for? Jim, hold on one second. We're going to try to get a little bit of a clearer signal. It's going to look at the article, actually, on ChicagoInno.com. There are some startups that are hiring right now. I did just ask Jim this question, but I'm going to answer it for you. Some of them are Cameo. Of course, we've heard a lot about that. That's a celebrity shout-out app. Also, there's a technology consulting company by the name of Sageza. S-A-G-E-Z-Z-A. Jellyvision is also hiring, a benefits software company. Relativity is a legal technology company. And then there's also Keeper Security, a password management company that's also hiring. Looks like Cleverbridge, an e-commerce and subscription management company. So all of this is listed on your website, ChicagoInno.com. Jim, you're back with us.
I am, yes.
Great. You sound really clear now. That sounds fantastic. Okay. So I listed some of them. Of course, people can go right to the website, and you do have all the local startups that are hiring. So that's fantastic, with links to see all of their current open postings. Let's move on to Sitter City. Tell us a little bit about this. This is a babysitting startup.
Yeah, so Sitter City launched back in 2001. It was really kind of the first sort of online platforms to connect families with available caregivers for their kids. And what they're doing is they have an interesting partnership with the city of Chicago, where they're working to connect, you know, the first responders, the healthcare workers, with free and affordable childcare. So what they're doing basically is waiving their fees on the Sitter City platform for these, emergency personnel, for the healthcare workers in Chicago who are working on the COVID-19 outbreak. And they're working to connect them with caregivers who are willing to volunteer their time. So if a caregiver is willing to sign up on the platform, willing to volunteer, it's going to basically provide free child care for these people who are really on the front lines of Chicago's coronavirus outbreak. So really a needed service, because child care is so, so important for so many people who are working in these fields.
Yeah, can't thank our first responders and healthcare workers enough. City was started back in 2001. How does it work? Is it are they looking for volunteers?
Yeah, so right now they are looking for volunteers to make the service free, but people can sign up on Sitter City and work for a fee as well. So if you're looking to make a little extra money, Sitter City is a platform where you can kind of sign up and, you know, be vetted and qualified, background checked, and become a caregiver as well. So Sitter City has been doing this thing for a long time. We've seen a lot of platforms pop up really since then in the, you know, almost 20 years that they've been launched. But they were really an early pioneer kind of in this digital babysitter space.
So how are they, obviously this is an essential service because these are essential workers that have to go out and work, and if they don't have a family member that can safely watch their children and provide child care, then they have to hire someone. How is Sitter City making sure that they're doing this safely?
Yeah, so Sitter City has kind of a robust sort of onboarding process where they're background checking the people who are caregivers on their platform. They're putting them through kind of the protocols that it takes to get somebody officially up and running. And so, you know, folks who are, you know, 18 and over can apply to be a part of the platform and then to kind of go through Sitter City's checks to make sure that they are qualified for the position.
Okay, moving on. Sounds like there are several Chicago tech hubs that are joining forces, uniting to try to find some solutions to this pandemic that's happening.
That's right. So three of Chicago's largest tech hubs, which is include 1871 at the Merchandise Mart, Matter, which is the health tech hub, although also at the Merchandise Mart, and M-Hub, which is a hardware technology hub. They are all coming together to kind of help use their networks to both fight COVID-19, so finding interesting technologies, innovative solutions to the problem itself, and then also acting as a resource for their startups within the community, meaning helping them get access to the different kind of loans that they can apply for, the different resources that companies need to kind of navigate this sort of tricky and uncertain time. They're doing a lot of different interesting things. M-Hub, for example, has got several of its kind of hardware engineers together to help develop low-cost solutions to address the country's ventilator shortage, for example. So those are kind of the early ideas that these tech hubs are kicking around.
So M-Hub is a manufacturing startup accelerator, and they are trying to figure out a way to create more and make more ventilators?
Essentially. So M-Hub is really kind of the epicenter in Chicago for hardware technology. So all the tinkerers, all the makers, all the people who are building physical high-tech products in Chicago have a little bit of a connection at least to M-Hub. It's a place for co-working. People can use open desk space. There's also dedicated office space. Really kind of the biggest and best kind of hardware technology companies, the upstarts in the city, kind of have a presence at M-Hub. And basically what they're doing is kind of bringing their best and brightest together who are interested in tackling kind of the problems that are presented with coronavirus. And, you know, the ventilator shortage is certainly going to be something that is going to be an issue across the country as hospitals continue to fill up and add people based off of folks who get this virus. So, you know, addressing the ventilator shortage is a really key way that some tech folks at M-Hub are starting to address this problem.
So Cameo is a Chicago startup that we've heard a lot about, especially with celebrity shout outs. And it was actually on the list of local Chicago startups that are currently hiring. But you've also got some other Cameo news. They're doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, the coronavirus is going to negatively impact a lot of businesses in a lot of different ways. But so far for Cameo, what it has seen is, you know, more people sitting on their couch, more celebrities sitting on their couch, more people are using Cameo. So as a reminder, Cameo is a celebrity shout-out app. So lots of famous folks are on there that use the Cameo app to connect with their fans. Fans can go on the app and pay for a video shout-out, usually as a gift, a birthday present for a friend or a family member. And Cameo last week, you know, kind of had one of its biggest weeks of the year, saw you know, one of its biggest booking days on Monday as You got a bunch of new talent on the platform. Mandy Moore is on there. Mike Tyson is on there. I was talking to the CEO, and Mike Tyson generated $20,000 in bookings during the first 6 hours that he was on the platform last week. So I think with a lot of downtime and people looking for some things to do, Cameo has definitely seen an uptick in usage.
It would be really great if a lot of these celebrities would just donate the profits from these shout-outs if they're able to.
That absolutely is happening, yes. Busy Phillips joined the platform solely for the purpose to tell people to stay home. So people have been requesting Busy Phillips paying $150, and she will send a video message to your friends or family to tell them to stay indoors. And donating that money to different charities like No Kid Hungry and World Central Kitchen.
Speaking with senior editor at Chicago Inno, Jim Dalkey. Jim, I've got about 2 minutes left. I've never gotten more Zoom requests and Google Hangouts and Google Meet requests from friends that perhaps if this coronavirus hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't talk to, probably in, I let weeks or months go by even. But now it's I'm getting a ton of these requests. Have you been hearing that a lot from everyone?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, Zoom as a platform has just become the vital resource for just about everybody across the country. And I think its stock price has been reflected in that. We used it just the other night to play a game of Scattergories with a couple of friends of ours in the town next door. So I think that Zoom is going to be a vital resource. And I think that we're going to see a lot of new products that become popping up here in the likes of Zoom, where we can continue to connect people more seamlessly. So Zoom is certainly one solution to this problem, but there's a big space for innovation here. I think there's going to be a lot of products that pop up to connect people digitally and in more efficient ways, perhaps, than we've seen before.
Of course, I was speaking of connecting socially, but these are essential apps in terms of running business. How has it been for you, continuing your journalism work from home?
Yeah, it's been not too bad. Luckily, a lot of the work that we can do is over the phone and over email, and it's a shame to have to miss out on some of those in-person meetings. But for us, it's business as usual, and actually, we're busier than ever. As you guys obviously know, it's quite a time for the news business. So we've been quite busy.
Well, thanks so much to Jim Dalkey, senior editor at Chicago Inno, personal finance expert. She's a real estate expert. Her company is called Best Money Moves, and she also has a website called ThinkGlink.com. Elise Glink joins us now. Hi, Elise. How are you doing?
Hi, G. It's kind of a shaky day for the market, but I'm doing just fine, thank you. How are you?
Hanging in there. Yes, we did talk with Terry Savage a little bit earlier in the show, but I want to know your takes on these Fed moves.
So it's super interesting. Clearly, the Federal Reserve has learned a lot since our last Great Recession 10 years ago. And, of course, the challenges this time are completely different and even bigger. But they've learned some things, and that's good. And one of the big lessons that they have clearly learned is whatever multi-trillion dollar stimulus package they come up with, they cannot leave consumers and homeowners and renters and small business owners on the side like they did last time. There was just tremendous wealth destruction when people couldn't make their mortgage payments, couldn't make their credit card payments, started losing their houses, started losing their businesses, and tapped into their 401ks and so ended up losing their 401ks. And the Fed wants to avoid that this time, and they've taken some steps to do that.
There seem to be some hang-ups about this federal stimulus package and it not actually getting approved and moving through. What do you think about them?
Well, it's a little bit hard to know where the hang-up is, but I suspect it has to do with the Democrats wanting some sort of guarantees in writing that companies are not just going to use the windfall that they're clearly going to get to do things that are going to enrich their own pockets and not help their customers. And you only have to look back about a year and a half ago to the tax cut, which was supposed to provide this great stimulus to the economy, but most of the companies ended up using that windfall to buy back their own stocks. In fact, many of the same companies now with their handouts saying, we're poor, were the ones who reaped, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in benefits and then used it to buy back stock. So, it's the old ant and the grasshopper. What do you want when the weather turns cold?
Well, how much time do you think we have? Because we really need to get money into the hands of people now and help to small businesses.
Oh, I think we have very little time. I think this has to happen, you know, almost instantaneously, which for the federal government means probably 2 to 3 weeks. But if you think back, a little over a year ago, we had, I think it was about 1 million federal workers who went without paychecks, without 2 paychecks. Mm-hmm. I think it was the month of January last year. And it was incredible how people were not able to make their rent payments, their mortgage payments. You know, we saw incredible pain for just a very short period of time, you know, of not having that income coming in. And it really speaks to the idea that, you know, that we talk about it, best money moves all the time, that about 80% of Americans are really struggling, really do live paycheck to paycheck. And so the Fed has recognized this, their own research recognizes it, and they're trying to make right by them.
Speaking of living paycheck to paycheck, we've been hearing so much about the oncoming recession, and you have tips on how to prepare for a recession?
Yes, on Best Money Moves, we have a blog, and we talk a lot about COVID and credit and COVID and the recession. And so what we did is I went through and I talked about 5 ways that you can prepare for the coming recession. And it starts with really reassessing your financial priorities. I know that there are a lot of people who think, you know, that spring break was the priority, but I got to tell you, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I want you to look at how much cash you have on hand. How much cash can you get your hands on quickly if you need it? How much debt do you currently have? Credit cards, student loans, mortgages, whatever. And how much are your very basic living expenses? And I mean here, only food, shelter, health insurance, transportation, child care. And then finally, did you have any major life events, wedding, baby, retirement, coming up that have significant expenses attached? And once you sort of reassess where you are with that, then you can prioritize your debt payments. And what's good here is that most credit cards, most of the major credit card companies, any lender that is backed by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or FHA, they are, and the student loans will allow you to push your payments 6 months. So we're keeping track of that for you as well, both on my two websites, thinklink.com, Facebook, and of course on Best Money Moves blog. And so hardship concessions will be available, but you should call and see if they are, if your creditor or your lender will allow you to simply push your payments by 6 months with no damage to your credit. And that's really a big key lesson from 10 years ago.
And that's usually with credit cards and, but with maybe some, I think they were also talking about some alleviating some rent payments as well for people that are furloughed or laid off. But what about with mortgages?
Definitely with mortgages. So about 50% of all mortgages are backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. About another 15%, which is very high, by the way, is backed by FHA. And for those, foreclosures and evictions are basically in a 3 to 6 month moratorium. You also have available to you a 6 month moratorium on payments. Those will just be tacked on to the end of your term, but it gives you a real break right now. But also many banks like Bank of America, and many others are also giving you a moratorium on car loan payments, small business loan payments, your credit card payments. So if you are on time up until when all this is happening now, call your lender right away. There is probably this sort of significant help available to you. You just need to ask for it.
So as we prepare for recession, you say one of the first things you have to think about is how much cash do you have on hand? So how much cash should we have on hand?
Well, I would love for you to have a couple of years worth, but, you know, that's not going to happen.
That's
especially
not happening,
right now. You know, try to have at least a month, you know, bare minimum. You got to be able to survive a month, then try to get 2 months together. And if you've got 2 months, that buys you some time to really think through where you're going to get the third and fourth months of cash. And by then, you'll have a better sense of, are we going to be like, you know, President Trump said this morning, well, maybe it's only going to be 2 weeks of being locked in your house, or is it really going to be more like what Governor Cuomo says in New York? No, it's going to be more like 4 to 6 months. And then you can start to adjust in the meantime. And by then, we'll also have clarity on what this federal stimulus package really looks like, how fast that cash is going to get into your hands. And they are talking about a direct stimulus to every American who earns less than $75,000 a year, with more for kids, and then you'll be able to judge a little bit better on how you're going to be able to manage your cash flow.
Elise, is this a time when you should be thinking about tapping into your home equity line of credit?
If you still got a job and you can get access to a home equity line of credit, sure, absolutely, you may want to do that, but I almost think it's going to be hard to judge what you're going to be able to get at this point in time and what kind of deals they're offering. I think the bond market, which is what drives mortgage interest rates, is really in flux. And so you normally would look at the 10-year rate to sort of figure out where you're going to be. And lenders for home equity lines of credit are now offering prime plus, and it could be 2 points, 3 points. A point is 1% of the loan amount, you know, an extra percentage point. So it's a little bit hard, but yes, if you've got equity in your house, if you want to take on that, absolutely, this is a good time to do it if you're still employed.
And I've got to be pretty quick here, but of course, you mentioned the major life events. We've heard about a lot of weddings that have been postponed. Of course, you can't postpone a baby coming, but could you potentially postpone retirement?
You can, and you probably should think about that. If you're close, but you haven't given your formal notice, or even if you have and you can take that back, that would be a lot better. But there are a lot of people who are going to get laid off over the next couple of weeks, and I can definitely see early retirement packages being offered, and you may want to consider taking that if you're going to get a big enough bang for that buck, and then finding something 4 to 6 months from now when the economy actually comes back to life.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Elise Glink. She's the CEO of Best Money Moves, also thinkglink.com. I highly recommend signing up for her newsletter and also checking out her website. Thanks so much for being with us, Elise.
Thanks, G.
We've been hearing about fancy French fashion makers and labels like Saint Laurent and Balenciaga. They're making face masks instead of fancy clothes at this time to help out. Also, hearing about Anheuser-Busch and other New York distilleries making hand sanitizer during this crisis. That is going to be happening locally with our very own distillery in Ravenswood, Koval Distillery. And joining us now is the co-founder, Dr. Sonat Bernecker Hart. Hi, Sonat.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing? I hear that you are pivoting what you guys are making there at Koval.
Oh, we sure are. We've been focusing now on a completely new item, which is hand sanitizer.
I'm sure you never imagined this ever happening.
No, we've gone from, you know, whiskey and gin, which is very sexy and all about fun and enjoyment, to hand sanitizer, which actually is about, you know, safety and cleanliness. And it is a tool on the front lines against this terrible scourge. So, you know what? It might not be as sexy, but it sure is more life-giving at this moment.
Absolutely. And thank you for helping out in a time of crisis. How did this idea first come to you?
Well, we knew that there was a need. We started hearing about it. But for us, it was we had a problem with shifting because it was a federal offense for a distillery that makes alcohol beverages for consumption to make an alcohol solution for something else. So we reached out to the TTB, as did many distillers. We reached out to our trade organization, Discus, as did many distillers. And luckily, I believe it was Wednesday evening, the federal government, the TTB, which regulates the production of alcohol, gave an allowance for distilleries that normally make it for consumption to also make it for hand sanitizer.
And of course, this was a real concern because you definitely didn't want to jeopardize losing your license for making alcohol for consumption.
Right. So the minute, I mean, what we had done is even before it was legal, we anticipated that it would become legal just given mm-hmm. the extreme need. So we had already started sourcing ingredients and getting things ready so that the minute it did become legal, we could completely turn everything upside down and only focus on making hand sanitizer, which is exactly what we did. So we'd already had the ingredients coming in. We're following the World Health Organization recipe. And so some of those ingredients were already on trucks coming to us when, you know, it was still in deliberations. But then all weekend and today we are putting it all together, the recipe, and starting to bottle, and hopefully we'll be shipping out this evening.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the recipe. Is it complicated?
No, it's actually very simple. It's high proof alcohol, which is the largest part of the recipe. It's mm-hmm. about 80%. And then there's some hydrogen peroxide and some glycerin.
And of course, this is these are going to be hand sanitizer that's not available for like the general public. Who are you hoping to make this for?
Right. I mean, the need is so great. We just can't make it for the general public right now. We have a list of over 150 nursing homes looking for it, police departments, firehouses, even the courtrooms, jails. I mean, you name it. There are so many people on the front lines, ambulance drivers, EMTs. These are all people that are really, truly fighting this war, and they need this tool. So we want to get it out to them first.
You're not charging these members of the community in order to receive the sanitizer.
Right. Right now we are offering what we are producing for free. Obviously, we won't be able to do that indefinitely. Uh-huh. The lights on. mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of help in creating even more free hand sanitizer than we were originally able to do ourselves, through a GoFundMe campaign, as well as the generous gift of Adelson Law Firm in Chicago and San Francisco. And it's because of this and also donations, the in-kind donations that we've received from breweries. We've had Metropolitan mm-hmm. Brewing and also Temperance in Evanston. And we've had Urban Renewal and Great Central also are donating their beer for us to distill into hand sanitizer. So it's really been a community effort. We couldn't do this alone. The generous donations, even $20 from people, is enough for us to make more and bring more to people on the front line. So we thank everybody for being involved.
Of course, you're part of a great community up there, oftentimes called Malt Row, so everyone's banding yes. together to join forces in this. Let's back up yes. a little bit. I mean, you are a small business. Tell us just how yes. this has affected. I mean, you said you can't keep doing this, obviously, even making the sanitizer and keep the lights on. Eventually, you'll have to either get funding for this or charge eventually. How, in mm-hmm. terms of your revenue, of course, your revenue stream, all the restaurants and bars are closed. You're not selling
yeah.
any. You know, you do organic gin, organic vodka. You're not selling anything right,
right
now.
Well, you know, luckily it has been said that liquor stores are essential.
Yes.
I can't agree
too
more.
Many, too many people they are.
Exactly. So, I mean, there is, you know, that side of things, you know, as long as that continues, you know, there is some business coming from, you know, off-premise sales. But that being said, you know, our products are available all over the world, and our entire European operations are completely shut down. Nobody
right.
is purchasing anything in Europe, so all of those sales are gone, and certain parts of Asia as well. That's been a huge issue for us, and, you know, we're seeing this, you know, cascading effect, you know, as more and more states take the much needed measures that Illinois is taking and California and New York. You know, you're going to see, you know, our business certainly and many other businesses are going to see themselves being affected. And I mean, we're no different than so many other businesses that rely on hospitality.
So not before I let you go, tell me how many employees is this taking to make the sanitizer, and how are you ensuring that everyone stays safe while they're making it?
Absolutely. So everybody that's working in production and, you know, It depends on the day and time. We have about 7 people in there. They all have masks, as they would normally have to have if you work with grain. So luckily, they already had that kind of protection. Obviously, they're wearing gloves, masks, and they're also engaging in social distancing. So nobody's allowed to get close to anybody else.
Right.
So that's very important for us to maintain that level of safety. My entire office staff has been working from home already for about 2 weeks. So, you know, we've tried to shift quickly so that we could protect people. You know, we have, you know, we had, at that, before all this madness, just under about 50 full and part-time employees all over the world. Obviously, with no work happening in Europe, you know, that our entire European staff is on furlough. And, you know, a lot of our part-time staff that used to do numerous tastings all over, you know, there are no tastings to be done. So, you know, this is affecting us dramatically.
Well, Sona, we're going to put all of your information for Koval Distillery and the GoFundMe page on our website. Thank you so much for thinking beyond your bottom line, even though you're a small business and your revenue has been affected. Really appreciate you being with us.